turn with us in the Bible to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2. Now let me mention a few things before we get to the scripture. 2 Kings chapter 2. I know today Liberty Kids will be having a meeting. If you're a worker in Liberty Kids, there will be a meeting today at 4 p.m. For all current and new volunteers. And let me go ahead and say this too, that if you're not doing anything at Liberty and you want to be a part of the great work the Lord is doing, Liberty Kids is a part of a great work that God is doing at Liberty. And it's that birth through second grade ministry where our kids are being taught the Word of God. They're being taught how to worship God. It's just a dynamic experience that's taking place while we're having church out here. And they always need volunteers. I've never yet been in a church where they had enough volunteers or where they had all the workers they needed. There's always a demand for workers. And so volunteer for that. Come to that meeting today and be here as we meet at 4 o'clock. And Jay and Kelly have some things on their heart they want to share with Liberty Kids. Also, next Sunday at 5 o'clock, let me just get these few important things out of the way, but next Sunday at 5 o'clock, life groups begin. Now, for those of you who don't know what life groups are, it is our educational hour at Liberty. Most churches call it Sunday school, or a lot of churches call it Sunday school. Well, this is not Sunday school. Sunday school, well, anyway, it's like Sunday school on steroids. So come at 5 o'clock, and we have a life group for every age. This is birth through seniors. We have a life group for newlyweds and nearlyweds. We have life groups for young marrieds, a life group for empty nesters, and we have all of the children's life groups for college men and life groups for college ladies. So there's literally a life group for every phase of life that you may be going through. So come out at 5 o'clock. It's a great time of fellowship around the Word of God, and God has used it greatly at Liberty to perform outreach, which is what a small body of believers is supposed to do. So many lives have been touched and changed because of it. And if you just want me to hush because I'm going on and on about life groups, well, I'm trying to do a good commercial here. So come out for life groups. Also, let me mention on Wednesday night, I'm kind of excited about this. On Wednesday nights, we just finished Revelation, and on Wednesday nights now, we're going to look at people that the Apostle Paul mentions in his writings. He wrote 13 of the 27 New Testament books, and throughout there, he named a lot of people by names. In fact, somewhere around 100 people he named by name, and their name is recorded in the Word of God, some for the better, some for the worse, but he called them all out. And so we're calling this series Talking About People. So come on Wednesday nights where we're going to be talking about people that's found in the writings of Paul. We're very, very excited about that. So 2 Kings chapter 2, take your Bible, your iPad, your cell phone, your Nook, your Kindle, your whatever else you have there, just the internet, stand up. 2 Kings chapter 2, Roger's going to read. My eye is still no good. And so Roger's going to read the text for us.
And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest
Amen. And you may be seated, and we pray and we ask God to add the blessings to the reading thereof. And so this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to us about the story of the last days of Elijah and the beginning ministry of Elisha. I want you to think on this thought today. I want you to think on the year of the double portion. And here's why. It's because God has put this text in my heart. And I want this, and you're going to see this again. You're going to see it on the screen behind us as announcements are played. You're going to hear us mention it. But this is the burden of our heart for Liberty Baptist Church in 2020. It is that this is going to be the year of the double portion. This is what we're asking. This is what we're praying. This is what we're seeking. But we got to understand a little bit more of it as we look at the story of Elisha. I think to begin with, what you need to understand is we've got to go back and look at the call of Elisha, which is over in 1 Kings. But there's something very important about the call of Elisha that I noticed. Remember, both of these men were great prophets of God. Elijah had this tremendous anointing upon his life. He was like a flash in the pan. I mean, he just out of nowhere, he shows up on the scene. He's a preaching machine. I mean, he shucks the corn and shells the peas, and great miracles happen, calls fire down from heaven, faces the prophets of Baal and all of this. He performs 7 recorded miracles in the Word of God. Elisha, he asked for a double portion, and he got exactly that double portion, and he performs 14 miracles as recorded in the Word of God. So he did double the miracles of Elijah. But we go back and we look at the call of Elisha. We see that one day he's a normal, ordinary dude. He's out plowing in a field with a yoke of oxen. Now notice this. He's not with 12 yoke of oxen. He's not a pastor. He's not a preacher. He's not been to the seminary. He's not been to Bible college. But he's out there just being a farm boy, doing what God had given him to do in life, being faithful to the call of God on his life, which is farming. And Elijah comes by, and God uses Elijah to call Elisha into the ministry, if you will. Elijah takes his mantle, which was symbolic of his anointing as the man of God. He takes it off of himself, and he strikes Elisha there on the shoulder with it. And the Bible says that Elisha immediately left the yoke of oxen and he took off, or the 12 yoke of oxen, and he took off and ran to Elijah and began to follow Elijah. I think before I talk about the double portion, I ought to probably speak just for a moment on a matter of opportunity. A matter of opportunity. See, this call that Elisha received, it was a great opportunity to do a big work for God. The call was because there was this purpose. See, God would have never called Elisha unless he had a purpose for the call. I want to say that one more time. God would have never called Elisha unless there was a purpose for the call. So understand the order here. The call doesn't come first and then the purpose. What happens is that first God has a purpose in mind and then there's the call. So if you've ever had the call, if the Lord's ever called you, I'm not talking about to preach. I'm talking about to walk in His grace, to walk in His favor, to walk in the light of His love. If God's ever called you to be saved, then you need to know this. God doesn't just do things randomly, but before He ever places a call on you, there's a purpose behind that call. I never go through contacts. I never go through the contacts on my cell phone. See, your pastor is technologically update and high speed and all of that. You notice that, right? I'll never go through my contacts and just say, boom, let's call that person. And you don't do that either. No, but God, you've got business. Or God's got somebody on your heart that you want to call and check on. And so every time I call somebody on my phone, there's a purpose behind that call. The call doesn't come first and then the purpose, but I get a purpose in my heart, and then I make the phone call. And that's the way God works. God has a purpose, and then he calls an individual to step into that purpose. And what I'm trying to say is this, there is this opportunity there. And when we see the call of Elisha, we see that he recognizes this opportunity and he runs toward the opportunity. You don't see a lot of people running to serve the Lord today. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just telling you, as a leader of a church, and I've pastored for over 20 years now, people just usually don't line up to sign up, if I can say it like that. Workers are far and few between. Jesus said that. He said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. That's why we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send us workers. So we need our prayer warriors praying that God would send workers. But Elisha, he saw this opportunity, and he jumped up and ran for the opportunity because he realized he had been called, and I think he also realized that God never calls unless he's got a purpose in mind. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is this. Look at your life for just a minute. Look at your life. You're blessed in every way. I don't have time, and it's not the purpose of the message to talk about all the blessings in your life, but look at your life, how blessed you are. God has blessed you up one side and down the other. I'm not saying your life is without struggle. I'm not saying your life is without burden. I'm not saying you don't have heartache. I'm not saying you don't have troubles. I'm not saying you don't get discouraged. You don't get down. You don't get depressed. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying look around at your life and take inventory, if you will. Take inventory, and you're going to see that God has been good. You're going to see that God has blessed you. That God has, in fact, most of us, God has just flat out spoiled us. Amen? He's not just given us, well, five people spoiled in this house today. Let's try that again. God's not just blessed us, but he's spoiled us. Amen? Amen. But I want you to understand something about the Lord. He doesn't just bless you to spoil you. You understand that? Yes, he's a good God. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's gracious. Yes, he's merciful. All of those things. But God doesn't just say, well, I'm just going to bless them to make them fat, to make them happy, and to make them idle. No, God says, I'm going to bless them because I've called them, and I'd have never called them unless I had a purpose for them. So God has blessed you. Why? Because God's got a purpose for you. God's got a call on your life. Young people, listen to me. You're sitting where you're sitting at. Your life has been blessed in so many ways. You've been blessed on the left hand and on the right hand. You walked in here on two good feet. God's put a roof over your head, which some people in Franklin County don't have this morning. He put food on your table, which some people around us in our communities don't have this morning. He's put people in your life that loves you. He's put people in your life that's been good to you. Why has God done all that? Has God done all that just because you've been so good? No, because none of us are good. None are righteous. No, not one. Has God done all of that? Well, because you've got it together and you study hard in school and mom and dad. No, why has God done that? God's done that because he's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you. And so for everybody in this church today who's been blessed, who God has favored and highly favored, I want you to understand something. I believe God has called you, and he didn't call you, just randomly call you to bring you in to the body of Christ, but he called you because he had a purpose in calling you. Why would God choose you? And why would God choose me? I'm telling you, I would have not chose me. And I'll tell you right now, you would have been a fool to have ever chose me. And maybe I would be a fool to have chose you. But thank God we're not God. God chose us. He knew who we were. He knew who we would be. He knew what we would be. That he called us. He chose us. Why? Because he's got a purpose on our life and a plan for our life. God's got something he wants to do. He's created for us an opportunity, and it'll be up to us whether we take it or whether we make it. So what are you going to do today? Well, let me say that you're not feeling this like I am. Now, please, it's 11:44, if my eye's reading that right. But should you not follow along fast enough, I'll start reading it with my bad eye, which all I can see is the 44. And I got to go to at least 11:30, so keep up. Look around you just a moment, Liberty. Look around you just a moment. This building is a miracle story. Mike Ward can tell it best, and many of you can tell it best, more so than I can. that this building is a miracle story. This whole church campus is a miracle story. Everything that takes place upon these grounds is a miracle story. I mean, God has highly favored Liberty Baptist Church. God has put an anointing upon this place. God has put his hand upon this church. God chose for this place to be a place where a little over a year ago that he did a great, great work of bringing many souls unto him. A work like the which I don't know that's ever been seen in this area in years and years and years. God did it. Why does God do all that? Because we're good. Because we got it all together. Because we know what we're doing. Because we've been educated, because we've got a big offering, because we worked hard, we made it all happen. No, that's not why all of this is, that's not why you see all you what you see. You see what you see because God called Liberty Baptist Church years and years and years ago. And before God called this church to be planted here and put here, God had a purpose in mind for letting it be established, for letting it be blessed through the years. God has blessed us because he has set before us opportunity. He has set before us, I believe, an open door that no man can close and only he can open, my friend. There's great days ahead for Liberty Baptist Church for the glory of the Almighty God above. So we've got opportunity. And you got to ask yourself, God has blessed me and given to me so freely. Am I going to seize this opportunity for his favor and for his anointing? God has put me in a church. Am I really going to be content just to sit there in 2020? Or am I going to get in and be a part of what God's doing? Because 2020 is the year of opportunity, the year of a double portion at Liberty Baptist Church. It's where God wants great things. But we need to understand something, though, about this opportunity and the anointing, the double anointing that's needed for this opportunity God set before us. There's this path, if you will, that we must follow. Elisha followed this path. And so we pick up our reading today. Elijah has had the call, and then he journeys with Elisha. In fact, he's almost, if you read the text, it's almost like he's a nuisance. Like Elisha's walking along, the seasoned veteran man of God. He has preached with anointing. He's known the power of God above. He's been discouraged. Yes, he's been depressed along the way. Yes, he ran from threats from a wicked woman. But he was still God's anointed man. So Elijah's walking along, and here's Elisha. He's like, "Hey Elijah, what are we gonna do today? What are we gonna do next? We're gonna go to prayer, we're gonna have Bible study, we're gonna knock on somebody's door, we're gonna visit, what are we gonna do next?" And Elijah says, "Why don't you just stay here? Just stay here for a little while. I appreciate you palling around with me, but hang out here and just give me my space, if you will." You know your space. Everybody's got those zones, those spaces, you know. Don't you love those people that when they talk to you right here? I mean, like right in your face, and I'm like backing up, and they keep following you. Did you do that? We all have our personal zones. And Elisha was in Elijah's personal zone. And they made this journey, if you will. And I want you to watch just a minute. There seems to be this path to this double portion and this anointing. And so Elijah is trying to get rid of Elisha. He's at least trying to distance himself. Give me some time. Elisha's just sticking with him. But the first place that they pass through, they pass through this place called Gilgal. Gilgal. I want to say about Gilgal is this. As we study it out and we see the history of it in the Bible. It is, number one, a place of separation. This journey to stepping into God's opportunity for you. Understand, God has created for you an opportunity. God has provided you with this great opportunity. God has favor in store for you. He has blessing in store for you. He has an anointing in store for you. God wants to use you. God wants to raise you up above mediocrity. God doesn't want you to live the Christian life in the ho-hum and the average and the so-so. But God has called you with purpose, and He wants greatness out of you. And the first part of that journey involves going by and through a place of separation. That's what Gilgal was. See, Gilgal was the place where the children of Israel stopped. And Joshua, all of those children born in the wilderness that had not been circumcised, it's where Joshua stopped everyone, and he said, okay, we're set apart for God's use and God's glory. God's got a plan for us. God's got a place He's taken us to. And before we can get to that place, we've got to remove all of the things of the flesh from our life. And that's what circumcision represented in the Word of God. It represented the natural and the fleshly. And so it was a place of separation. I want some of you to understand this, that before you can go on with God, that before you can make that journey to that double anointing, to that place of opportunity, then you need to visit first your own Gilgal, where you go through this this place of separation. What am I supposed to separate myself from, preacher? Well, really, that's a sermon in and of itself, but let me just say this. The world in which we live in has so crept into the church that it is really hard to distinguish those in the church from those outside the church, the unconverted, the lost masses. We can't really separate the two anymore because we've not guarded the church and the holy standards of God's Word like we ought to guard it. And so not only the actions of the world are in the church, but the attitudes of the world are in the church. Listen, I don't care how much you're doing for Jesus. I don't care how many mission trips you go on, how much money you put in offering plate. I don't care how hard you labor, sweat, and toil for God's kingdom. If you've got a rotten, stinking attitude, God doesn't accept it all. Say amen. We'll start reading with one eye. And so maybe it is some actions. Maybe there's things in our life we just need to separate ourselves from. Get rid of those things. Maybe it is our attitudes. Listen, when God saves a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, I want to tell you what He does. He changes your attitude. Man, when I got saved, and this to God's glory, but I literally hated people. I'd worked for 10 months on an old bar squad. You've heard me tell about this. And so every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, we had 5 bars in the immediate downtown area. And that's just the immediate downtown area. We had a whole neighborhood that was given over to open drug sales. And I worked nights all of that time, sometimes as many as 10 nights in a row, 10, 12-hour shifts. I was so stinking hateful and ornery, I couldn't stand to be around myself. Try to escape yourself. See how that works for you. And I hated people. I just didn't want to be around people. I mean, every call that come on the phone or on the radio was about somebody drunk, somebody on dope, somebody spitting, somebody fighting, somebody cutting, somebody shooting, somebody cussing. I mean, people wasn't calling saying, hey, man, can you swing by the local bar because we got somebody down there who wants to tell you how good a job you're doing. They've got coffee and donuts for their favorite cops. That just don't happen, man. And so, hey, you want to go to jail, I'd be glad to take you to jail. I went one time on an animal cruelty charge. A guy had been terribly cruel to these animals in sub-zero weather. And we had arrest warrants on the guy, and I went to arrest him. Big old guy. He's about 6'4 and weighed about 400 pounds. And I went to arrest him, and I had to use 2 sets of handcuffs on, you know what I'm talking about, on his back. And when I went to arrest him, his brother lived next door, and he was 6'4 and 500 pounds. And he come running out the door, and he said, what's going on? I said, we've got a warrant for arrest for your brother for animal cruelty. We're hauling him up to the magistrate's office. You can drive up there. Magistrate explained to you how to get him out of jail. He said, if you're taking him, you're taking me too. I said, all right, turn around. Clicked him up. We just took 2 at a time. 2-for-1 special, that's better than Kmart Blue Light special, folks. I'm telling you right now. These kids don't know what Kmart is. Somebody fresh them in after the service. But listen, it's a place of separation. And God saved me January 13th, 1997. And what he did in me was he took a heart of stone and he gave me a heart of flesh. All of a sudden, something strange started happening to me. I started loving people. And all the crowd that I hated the worst was the church crowd. I didn't want to get around them. I didn't want nothing to do with you folks. You brought conviction to me. It made me miserable. And I just could not stand to be around anybody that was associated with church. But God saved me. And all of a sudden, the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to get around church people. In fact, the first thing I did was I called a preacher. I couldn't believe that. I went and seen this preacher, visited him and his family. And then I started going to church. And then I wanted to know where they're having revivals and Bible studies and prayer meetings. And man, I just wanted to love on people because, see, when God saves a man, he saves that man inside and out from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Yes, I still live in the old body. I've got a new man in the old body, but God took my heart and he got rid of those rotten attitudes and gave me a spirit of grace and of love and of meekness and of a sound mind. So there's this place of separation. Some of you, you got some things you got to get out of your life before you can step into God's plan, God's favor for you. And let me be very frank. I'm going to preach really fast these last two points, but let me be very frank about one thing. Some of you have got people in your lives that you need to let go. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. You have people in your life. I never had a problem giving up alcohol. I wanted to get rid of it. That was kind of my thing. But when God saved me, I didn't want no more. Started drinking out of a new fountain. I also knew it'd be a bad witness for me to keep doing so. And I didn't want to be a bad witness to anybody. I didn't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I didn't have a problem with that. What I did have trouble with and struggle with was letting good people go out of my life. People who wasn't keeping up with where God was leading me. And people who, in fact, were slowing me down and trying to drag me back to where I was. And so I had to let those people go out of my life. And let me tell you something, write this down, because it's going to be a blessing to you in later years. When people want to walk away from your life or people want to walk away from you, learn the grace of just letting them go. Learn the grace of letting them go. I know you, this is not popular preaching. I know you don't hear it everywhere you go. But I'm telling you, sometimes God carries people out of your life so you can grow in grace and step into the opportunities God's made for you. It's not being mean or cruel. I'm not telling you to hate them. I'm not telling you to block them on Facebook or whatever else you can do on social media. I'm telling you, keep loving them. But if they want to walk away, just let them go. Because God's got a big plan for you. God's got a huge plan for you. He's created an opportunity for you. If God did not have an opportunity in store for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this church, you said, but preacher, you don't know what I'm struggling with. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been. I don't care about all that. What I do know today is the grace and the mercy of God is greater than what I could ever preach. And if God give you breath today, if God lets you get up and sit in Liberty Baptist Church today, he wants me to tell you he's given you an opportunity for 2020 to do great and double things for the glory of the Lord. So this place of separation, but then notice they go on then to Bethel. That is a place of transformation, if you will. They go on to Bethel, and Elisha, he's taken this path. It's going to get him to this double anointing. And they go through Bethel. Bethel, the house of God. Bethel. Well, what is so significant about Bethel? Well, it's a place of transformation. Here's the thing. Until you go through that place of separation where there's certain things, certain people, certain attitudes you got to cut out of your life. Until you go through that, then you can never come to this place of transformation, but we must come to this place of transformation. What happened at Bethel? Well, at Bethel, just very briefly, that's where Jacob, the deceiver, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Esau, he was named that from his birth, Jacob the deceiver. That's where he stopped one night, and he was visited by God himself in a dream. And he had this vision of a stairway, and coming up and down those stairs were angels of God. And at the top of that staircase was God himself. He had had a one-on-one meeting with God. And it forever changed who he was. He was never the same from that point on. He was never again Jacob the deceiver, but he was Jacob the man whom God used, the man whom God had a purpose for, the man whom God had called, the man who God had created opportunity to redeem all the rest of his days. And so it was in that place, and there he built a monument unto the Lord. And so we must go through this place of transformation. And man, listen, I don't know about you. I'm really thankful that I'm not what I used to be. And I mean, I say 10,000 hallelujahs that I'm not what I'm used to be. But I know this, I am sure not what I want to be yet. I'm not what God wants me to be yet. And I'll give another 10,000 hallelujahs to say that I'm not where he's going to take me and what he's going to make me yet. So don't give up on me. Don't quit on me, because God's still working on me. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, so there's this place of transformation. That's what the Bible, that's what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, or the writer of the book of Hebrews, whoever that would have been. He said, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that we may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to live in God's perfect will. I want to walk in God's perfect will for me. How do I do that, preacher? Here's how you do it. Be ye not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll tell you what that word transformed is. It is a word from science, if you will. It refers to a caterpillar that goes through this metamorphosis. And when it goes through this metamorphosis in that cocoon, it comes out of that cocoon and it's no longer a worm. It's no longer a caterpillar. But when it emerges and when it exits, it has wings and it begins to flap those wings and it begins to fly. Listen to me. God is not intended on you to be conformed and be a worm or a caterpillar, but he's intended on you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the washing of the water of the word, so God can let you fly into opportunity that he's made for you. You with me? Amen. And so there's this place of transformation. Man, listen, go through that place of separation, your own Gilgal, where you get rid of relationships and attitudes and people that's not part of this opportunity God's created. And then there's this place of transformation where God does this work in you. And listen, let me forewarn you right here. You can turn over a new leaf if you want to turn over a new leaf. The wind blows and always blows the leaf back over. You can make a new start. And I'm scared to say this, but I'm going to. And when we think about the new year, I'm just going to give you a heads up on something. Most diet plans don't work long term. You want a crash course on losing? I mean, you want to lose some weight quick and get down to a certain goal number? Well, go on a diet, and you'll lose weight and get to that place you're trying to get to. But for sustained weight loss and health, it requires a lifestyle change. A lifestyle change for the rest of your life. A lifestyle change. And so you can just say, well, I'm just going to do better for the Lord, or I'm going to try to live for the Lord, or I want these things. But listen, there's things you got to do to get there. And you got to go through that place of separation, that place of transformation. I mean, it's not just going to happen by magic. I mean, you got to seek God in his word and in prayer and run after the opportunities that he's given you. You don't wait on an opportunity to happen, but you come and you make an opportunity happen. I want you to know, the ministries at Liberty, they are not limited to what you see today. They're not limited to just what we have on paper. The ministries at Liberty can be as varied and numerous as the individuals in this church, and your ability to let the Spirit be creative in you, to lead you and guide you and say, hey, God's put this in my heart, preacher, to do this, to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I'm going to say, I'm going to pray about it with you. Let's pray about it together. And I'm going to say, go get it if God told you to do it. Are you with me? So lastly, though, there is this. There's number one, a place of separation you got to go through to get a double portion, a place of transformation that you got to go through, and then lastly, there is this place of occupation. Now watch right here, and I'm about to close. Girls, you can come get him an invitation. A place of occupation, and so they go to. Then the Bible teaches us in 2 Kings 2 that then they go to Jericho. they go to Jericho, and they go through Jericho on their way to the Jordan. And on their way there to Jericho, there's several things that take place. It is a place, Jericho is a place of occupation. You remember the story over in the Bible about the fall of Jericho, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. That's where God, watch this, listen to me, don't go to the Burger King or the Mexican restaurant yet on me. Hang on. Jericho is where God told his people, he said, listen, it's like this. I've given you an opportunity. I've got a plan for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've set before you an open door. In fact, I want you to look at all this land. God said, I've given it to you. I've given it to you. The only catch is you got to rise up and you have to go take it. And here's the interesting thing. God didn't say, I want you to go visit Jericho. I want you to go visit the land of milk and honey, the land of blessing. I want you to go visit the land of favor. God said, it's yours. I want you to go take it. I want you to go live in it. You're going to live in houses you've not built. You're going to farm on land that you didn't turn over the fallow soil on. You're going to harvest crops you didn't plant. I want you to go live in it. It's yours. Take it, is what the Lord said. See, the problem is this. You and I, we're discontent with visiting the land of blessing. We'll go there for a while and then we step out. We're just content with visiting the land of God's favor. We're just content with visiting an anointing and a touch of His Spirit. We're just content with having a victory in our life and just visiting it for a while. But what God said is, I want you to go and I want you to take it and I want you to occupy. And so here's what I think somebody's prayer needs to be here, is it needs to be, God, I'm tired of just drifting into your will and out of your will. I'm tired of drifting into blessing and out of blessing. I'm discontented with drifting into your favor and out of your favor and into your anointing and out of your anointing. But God, what I want, because I've been through this place of separation, my Gilgal. I've been to Bethel, the house of God, of Elohim, all-powerful God. I've been there and your word and prayer has transformed me. I'm not what I used to be, but you're still working on me. But God, I want to occupy now. You've created an open door for me. I want to live in blessing. I want to live in favor. I want to live in your righteousness. I want to live in open doors. I want to live with your anointing. God, I don't want to be an up and down believer. I know hard times are going to come. Discouragement, depression, struggles, battles, all of those things. That's part of soldiering, my friend. That's part of enduring as a believer. But listen, despite all of that, it is still within our ability, by the hand and the grace of God, to live in God's favor even when you're discouraged, to live in God's grace even when you're depressed, to walk in anointing even when you struggle with the flesh, to have all of these things. God wants His people to live in occupation of all that God has given them. God has given us so much opportunity. And for your average believer, we walk right by opportunity that God has given. For your average believer. What would you do if the president sent you an invitation to the White House, to the Oval Office? A personal invitation. Oh, my word. Facebook would lock up and freeze because you'd blast it so quick. And then you're going to call your neighbor and they're going to call their neighbors. And then the Carnesville paper is going to come and they're going to Franklin County paper and they're going to come write an article that you're going to the White House, to the Oval Office, because the president gave you a personal invitation. And you'd talk about it and you'd tell it, but you would seize that opportunity so fast, it'd make our head spins. One day, you're my good old neighbor living beside me, and the next day you're high-fluting with the president in the Oval Office. Well, the God of heaven has given you a greater opportunity. He has. He's given you an opportunity for anointing, for a double portion, for favor, for grace, to live in it, not pass by, not to watch somebody else have it and live in it, not just occasionally get there, get near it, but to live in it yourself. Something very interesting about this story, though, there's 50, remember Elijah had a school of the prophets. I don't know if you remember that, but he had a Bible school, Bible college for preacher boys. 50 preacher boys are standing at a distance watching all this unfold, what we read about. Elisha says, I'm going to stay with you. Elijah says, stay here, give me some space, stay here. And Elisha keeps sticking with him, keep sticking with him, keep sticking with him, keep sticking with him. And they come to the Jordan, and the Bible says those 50 preacher boys, they're standing at a distance, but Elisha, he's on the hills of Elijah. Elijah takes his mantle, ties it together, smokes the Jordan River, opens up, creates dry ground, and he asks Elisha, he says, what do you want? What do you want? By the way, that's the second of two occasions that I can find in God's Word where God gives somebody an opportunity to have what they want. First was Solomon, he said, what do you want? He didn't ask for riches or great armies or kingdoms. He said, give me wisdom. And then Elisha here is given opportunity to get whatever he asked. And he asked Elijah, Elijah says, what do you want? And Elisha says, well, I've been with you and I've seen your mighty works and I've heard of the works you've done, but I want to do twice as much. Give me a double portion. And Elijah says this, he says, okay, I'll do it. If you'll stay close enough to me, and you're near me where you can see it happen when I'm caught up, if you see it happen, you're so close you see it happen, then I'll give it to you. Then I'll give it to you. So 50 were content to stand far off and watch it all. And one said, I want it. Give it to me. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to hear somebody else telling about it, but I want to tell about it. I don't want to hear somebody else's experience, but let me experience it. God, give me that double portion. Elijah said, stick with me. And if you see me get caught up, then you'll get it. And sure enough, he stayed right with Elijah because he wanted it, because he had a desire for it. 50 turned it down, and one said, I want it. And then when they were walking along after they crossed the Jordan, the Bible says the chariot of fire swung by. Elijah got on it, carried off into heaven. Elisha saw it, and thus began his opportunity for what God had in store for him. 50 said no, and one said yes. 50 said, we'll stand at a distance, and one said, I'm going to stick with you. Here it is, Liberty. 2020, the year of double portion. God, raise up in this church twice as many workers as we've ever had. God, raise up in this church twice as many singers as we've ever had. You say, well, preacher, the choir loft's full now. I don't come to the choir loft because there's no place to sit. Well, stand. Stand. We'll put seats out here on this stage. Hey, as far as I know, we can set chairs right along the edge of this stage. We'll occupy it all the way up through here. Hey, we'll just have Mike Ward knock out the whole back wall of the building. He's just waiting on somebody to say, knock it out, Mike. Build us a bigger choir loft. Lord, let this be the year we have twice as many singers. Lord, let this be the year that we give twice as much to missions. Lord, let this be the year that we minister in twice as many places as we have in 2019. Lord, let this be the year that we see twice as many people saved and born into God's kingdom. Lord, let this be the year that we labor in twice as many prayers. Give us a double anointing for 2020, Lord. We're not going to miss this opportunity. God, we look around and these great mighty things been done here. It's not been just to make us happy, but God, it's been so that we can rise up and step into your purpose, into your calling, into your favor, into your blessing, into your grace, into your double portion for 2020. Lord, I'm going to stay close. I'm going to stick close. I'm going to walk. If 50 say no, if 50 stand back, I'm going to be there because I don't want to miss it. We need somebody to come from the back who would say, I don't want to miss it, preacher. I'm not sitting still. I'm not sitting idly by. I don't want to miss it. We need somebody to come from the middle. Somebody come from this middle portion. Somebody in the mix amongst all the people, push your way out and come to this altar and say, Lord, you've given me an opportunity and I don't want to miss it. Stand with us, Elizabeth, girls, sing. Quickly, come before they even sing.